starting a series, and I'm not putting any limits on the series that we are about to start. We're just going to kind of see where this goes a little bit, but the Lord has really been dealing with me about some concepts. I mentioned it Sunday in the message, but we are going to be starting, and this is, tonight is just completely a setup for the series that is going to come. The series is just in full-on development right now, and I've got so many ways already that I've been working with this series, and so I'm excited about this, but we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. We're going to be looking at this and just breaking this down, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to go through many, many things. When you talk about spiritual warfare, there's many things that come to mind. We're going to be talking about prayer. We'll be talking about praise. We'll be talking about our response to situations, our service in the kingdom. We'll be talking about the word and how that applies to spiritual warfare. We'll be talking about deliverance. We'll be talking about spirit baptism. All those things are going to go into it. We don't know. I don't have a limit on time frame that we're going to be in this, but I know that there's a lot that I want to cover and a lot that I want to look at, and so we're just going to kick this off tonight. I'm just going to share a few things with you tonight, kind of set the stage a little bit, and then really starting next week we're going to start diving into this. And I really have in my heart to really go in depth into this concept because of the times that we are living in right now. I believe that this is vital. And after tonight, I'm hoping that you will agree with me and you will make it your effort to be here during these times. And so we'll just see where we go. Take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's where we're going to just kind of begin tonight. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures for you. And then we're just going to jump into this concept, this idea of spiritual warfare. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's actually begin reading at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Peter's writing here, and he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore," verse 6 says, "humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now that word "due" in due time, when all things are ready, when it is the right time, when you're carrying a child, there is a due date. There is a time that you are going to give birth to that child. And so you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you when that time is right, when that time is necessary. Verse 7, "casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I mean, is that encouraging to anybody to know and understand that God cares for us? Right? We can care for him, but he cares for us. That's what's important. Verse 8, "be sober." Be alert. Be vigilant. That means be on guard. Be watching. Be sober. Be vigilant. "Because your adversary, the devil," we do have an adversary. We'll talk about that in a moment. "The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We'll come back to that verse as we kick off. "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." We read in verse 9. Verse 8 says we have an adversary. We'll come to that. Verse 9 tells us what to do with this adversary, and that is we resist him. And then in the phrase following resist him, you could take that phrase out, steadfast in the faith, and it would read resist him, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And we would know to resist him because he's fighting, all of us are fighting this battle. The brotherhood fights this same battle. But he doesn't leave it there. He interjects the statement that he makes because he tells us how to resist him. Okay? He tells us to humble ourselves before God. That's one way we resist him, but also to be steadfast in the faith. It's how we resist the onslaught of the adversary, is by remaining steadfast in the faith. Okay, and we may come back to that at some point. We probably won't linger there long tonight because I really just want to press through and give you the things that I have in my heart to give to you tonight. Spiritual warfare. It's important that you understand, first of all, that we have an adversary. Okay? Many Christians, and we're going to be talking to Christians during this series. We are believers. We're not teaching this series for unbelievers. We're teaching this series for believers. How many know unbelievers are not going to be engaged in spiritual warfare against the adversary? Believers are. Okay, and so this is something that as believers we need to comprehend. And the first thing that we need to understand is we have an adversary. If you do not know that if you don't realize you have an adversary, then you will not be awake in the fight. You won't be steadfast in the faith. Okay, and so you need to understand you have an adversary. And it's also important to know that not only do you have an adversary, but then you need to know who your adversary is. And that's very important in the day that we live in the time we live in. It's been important from the very beginning. We just see it even now today. It's still just as important as it always has been to know who we're fighting against. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with men and people in this world. But our fight is in the heavenlies. Our fight is a spiritual battle. Now understand what we are saying here. We have a battle. It's a fight of faith. Okay, Paul would write at the end of his life and he would say, I have fought the good fight of faith. I've finished my course. I've run my race. I have done this. There's a crown laid up for me now, a crown of righteousness laid up for me now. I'm ready to depart to go and receive that. But I have fought the good fight of faith. That's the battle that we are talking about, and that's why the way we fight that is humbling ourselves before God and remaining steadfast in the faith. Making sure our faith remains, okay? So we need to understand that we have an adversary. It's not people. It's the enemy of our soul. Peter writes, the devil. Now, what he means by that, it's not just one foe, and the devil is not just some being with, you know, a red jumpsuit and pointy ears and a pitchfork. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a whole system that would be against God's plan. So it's summed up in the devil because he leads this system. Satan, the fallen one, Lucifer, the son of the morning that fell and now has become the adversary of all mankind, trying to pull us away from the Father's good pleasure and the Father's will in Jesus Christ. He is our adversary, and all that he represents is the adversary that we are fighting. It's not people, not flesh and blood. It's a system. Okay? It's a system that we are battling against. And so we need to understand that and how we overcome this system that's summed up in the devil. We need to understand this. Because here's the reality. You and I are not every day out in hand-to-hand combat with Satan. Okay? Number one, he's not omnipresent. He's not God. He's not everywhere. He has minions. He has principalities. He has spiritual wickedness and powers and the flesh that we fight against, all of that. But we're not out in some hand-to-hand. Don't run around looking for the devil behind every corner. Okay? That's not what he's saying to do here. That's not what we need to understand. This is a system that we are battling against, and we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be watching, because this system that the devil has comprised, that has made up, that is against God. Do you remember what caused Lucifer, Satan, what caused him to fall from heaven in the first place? What began the process. You could say jealousy, but pride. Pride, he wanted to exalt his throne above God. He believed he could knew better, and he could. And so pride was the beginning of this. And so notice what Peter says here. He twists that all the way around, and he says, humble yourself. Amen. Do you see that in the scripture? So you got to understand this. When we're talking about spiritual warfare, this is important to understand. The system that the enemy operates in is a system of pride. It's a system of taking things into his own hands and believing he can do things on his own and doesn't need God and is greater than God. And that was the beginning, the very beginning of the fall. And from that time, once the enemy entered into flesh, and that pride entered into flesh. Remember, John writes about it in 1 John, and he said, here's what we fight against. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. Okay? Because that was the key. In the garden, that's what the enemy tempted Eve and then Adam with, was pride. Well, God said, don't eat of that. Well, God just doesn't want you to be like him, to see everything he can. So he's trying to hide that from you. The temptation is pride. And pride is completely opposed to being humble, to having humility, to keeping ourselves lowered, subjected under God. Okay? That's what Satan couldn't do, and that's what his entire system is about. It is a fight against mankind humbling themselves under the word, the plan, the will of God through Christ Jesus. So anything, hear me now, anything that opposes the concept of being humble under the mighty hand of God, of subjecting yourself unto God through Christ Jesus, of understanding that the only way to the Father is through Christ. This is why it takes grace, not works, because the Bible even says it. The Bible says we are saved. Ephesians tells us we are saved by grace. You know why? Because if it had been by works, man could boast. Come on, you got to hear this. This is something that we need to understand. The entire battle, now I'm not saying this is everything, but the entire battle can be minimized down to these areas. But you got to understand those areas. You got to understand. So when Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, be watching, it is because, how many know it is easy to step onto this side of the battle? It's very easy. And you might say, well, I'm not a proud person. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about being a proud person. We're talking about operating under the system of pride that sets itself up against God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's power in this if we'll hear this. And that's why when we begin to walk through all these things with this understanding, something is going to happen in us. And I really believe God wants us to go in depth in this, because we got to catch this. There are two systems at work. Okay, in our world, there's two systems, and there's really only two. There is God's system. You know what God calls that in this earth? The kingdom. And then there is the world system. Now, the enemy is in control of this system. He's the prince and power of the air. So when you're talking about, I'm not saying he has control over the whole world and everything that happens in it. No, I'm saying. But I'm saying the world, because of the fallen nature, because of sin, it's reserved unto judgment. But because of that, this world system and the ways of man sets itself up against God and the kingdom. Now, here is where we're going to go with this, and let me just lay this out for you. I told you Sunday, the Lord hit me with a concept, and this really began to develop in me, and this is where we're going to be going. And along with all that is going on right now, the Lord hit me with this, and I've been guilty. I have said it. I say guilty. That's the wrong terminology to use. I've said this, and I know you've probably said this, and I don't mean that it's not real or it's not right to say or anything like that, but I was praying Saturday night here, and I was praying about the situation of our day and the way the media is pitting us against each other and all these different things, and the Lord just began to speak to me as I was praying in my spirit, and He began to talk to me about, I don't need you to fight a culture war. Quit trying to reclaim a culture of the past. Now that's not going to go over real well in many of our circles, and I fully am aware of that and understand that, so you're just going to have to hear me out a little bit. Because we say it all the time, boy, our culture has gotten horrible. How many would agree with that? How many of you have made that statement? You raise your hand with me. Boy, this culture is crazy. Amen? It is. Our culture. But here's the thing. Cultures have always been crazy. It's just we happen to live in this one right now, so it seems even more crazy. Right? But the Lord just challenged me and said, listen, here, and this is what He's saying into my spirit. I don't want you to be on some journey to reclaim a culture. Culture pits what I'm comfortable with what somebody else wants. Amen. Culture, when we fight for a culture we want, we're fighting for a culture that we're comfortable with, and it automatically pits us against those that are in a different mindset of culture. So we are automatically, by definition, at odds. Okay? Now, what hit me, now I know that's a hard concept. It was hard for me as I was hearing it. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I need your help on this. Because I don't understand, because I feel like we've moved away from you. I feel like the culture's turning. And that's when the Lord began to put in my heart, this world system has never been on my side. And then I've been on a journey, and I've been looking, and you might can help me. You can do it after service tonight, not right now if you do. But I've been trying to look. I haven't yet found a time in man's history when they were able to reverse the onslaught of culture and go back to a former culture. I haven't found that. I haven't seen that. Culture moves on. Things change. Times change. Once the change happens, I hate to say that because, boy, we don't want to hear this. And this isn't the most popular thing to say right now, but I've got to speak truth to you because I think this is important for us to get this in our mind for where I'm wanting to go. Once changes happen, you don't go back to how it used to be. It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened. If you can show me somewhere in time that it did, then that's great. But culture moves on. Technology's different. Things have changed. Everything's moved. So we've got to get that in our mindset. And this is important that you understand what I'm saying to you. And that's why I'm taking my time, because I don't want to be misunderstood, and I don't want you to walk away from here thinking anything other than what I'm trying to say to you. But we cannot waste our moments and spend this time and invest in this moment trying to fight for a culture we were comfortable in that the reality is not coming back. Okay. I said it. No. I said it. You'll have to process that a little bit. And you can disagree with me on that. And you can say, well, we need to fight to bring it back. We need to stand up. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying we can invest a lot of effort, but trying to put that all back into something that we feel like was a better time, it's not going to happen. But there is a way to go forward. Okay? And that is, because here's what we're doing. We are associating the culture we are comfortable with and the way we believe things should be and maybe once were, and we're associating that here, but the reality is even that was still here. Okay. See, when you catch this, even the best times here are still here. They're still in the world culture. Even the best America's ever been is still somewhere in here. Oh, but we were founded on biblical principles. I'm not saying any of that. But we were founded on biblical principles, but we still owned other human beings. Okay? I mean, even the best times, it was still a man's culture. It was still dominated by powerful, by wealth, by greed would get involved. Everything, if you had enough power, you could get things to go your way. And I'm not just saying America. I love it. I wish, believe me, let me say this to you. I wish we could go back to how life was when I was young. I would do it. If I was given the option to live now in the U.S. or to go back and us have a lifestyle like we had when I was young, I'd choose that in a heartbeat. But even that had issues, challenges, because even that was still the world system. Amen. And we need to hear that. We need to process that, because what I'm about to say next makes all the difference in the world. The reality is, this is not, has never, will never be our path to victory or our home or our full lifestyle. This is. Because our, as believers, as followers of Christ, it's not about the world culture we live in. It's about the kingdom we're a part of. Because all around this world, for century after century after century, especially since Christianity, since Christ walked on this earth, there have been multiple cultures. The church has thrived in multiple cultures. The church has thrived in communist culture. The church has thrived in socialist culture. The church thrives in capitalist culture. The church thrives in cultures where it doesn't seem like it should. It thrived through persecution. When they were being fed to lions and used as torches, the church was still growing. Why? Because somewhere along the line, somebody grabbed the concept that it's not all about the world system that we are in. It's about the kingdom that we are pursuing and we are a part of. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Russell, will you go there with me? I'll just let you go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Because I want you to see this, because I think it's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Because if we don't understand this, we're going to miss this whole concept of where I really want to take you on this journey. He's trying to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I keep saying that because sometimes it's hard to remember what I said up there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many understand what that's saying? If you're in Christ, your old life's passed away, new life has come, new life has begun. Let's go to verse 18. Okay, verse 18 says, now all things, the things that now are new, all things, that's the new things, that's what Christ gave us, right? That's right after verse 17. If any man be, go back to verse 17, Russell. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, what? All things have become new. Now all things are of God. No, hold on. Look what he said. Now what? What's the now after verse 17? If anyone's in Christ, the old's passed away, the new's become, and now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can live in this, the only way we have eternity, and has given us the ministry, The service, the reaching out, the giving away of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. Let's read on. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we've got the ministry of reconciliation. We've got the word of reconciliation. But it only comes when we are in Christ and all things have become new. And that means when we have transferred out of this way of living into this way of living. And that's the kingdom. Jesus came and set the parameters of the kingdom. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But he didn't come and establish an earthly kingdom the first time. But he did come and establish a kingdom. Amen. And the kingdom that he established can be accessed from any world system. Whew, amen. That, because there's only two, and Jesus came to set this one up. And we all are living in this one, but if we are in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new, and all things are of God, His way, through Christ. Absolutely. That's the new. We come out of the old way, and now it becomes about the kingdom. Now listen, here's the difference in God's kingdom that Christ established, that He's the King of our hearts. He's now put us in this, and the world system, it's here. It's pride. It's a prideful system of man having it all figured out, man's way. This is what works, this is what won't. And we'll argue and we'll fight and we'll do all this stuff over that because we've got the best system. It's pride versus humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God through Christ. Christ established this kingdom through humility by suffering for us, paying the price for sin by allowing his life to be taken, crucified on a cross to pay the price, substitutionary for sin, to shed blood because there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. He gives his life. He said nothing before his accusers. He even said, if I wanted to, I could call down legions from heaven, angels, and they could come and deliver me and everything would be set right. But that was he set this into motion through being humble before the plan of God and the will of God, and he established a kingdom. And so this becomes the battle, the spiritual, and we are in the throes of that battle right now, tonight, in the United States of America, as well as all around the world. But let's talk about our country right now in our culture. I think it's the greatest way of life that is in this world. I think our way of living, our democracy, our way of going, I think it's the greatest we have, but it's still a world system, and it's still full of problems, and it's still full of corruption. Would anybody agree that the politics of our country are corrupt? Amen. Amen. I think we probably can all agree that the politics of our system are corrupt. Doesn't matter which side you're on. Whatever side you're on, your side is corrupt. My side is corrupt. It doesn't matter. There's corruption. Doesn't mean there's not good people in both sides. Doesn't mean there's not sometimes better than others. But that's the system. Okay, and we can either fight and do all this here, or we can understand we have been placed into a different system. If we're going to have impact in our world, is that not what we're here for? If we're going to have a voice that is not going to become a hypocritical voice in a world system that tries to stand up and tries to make excuses for a corrupt system that is racked with problems, that is racked with, because if we want to sell out to try to defend defend the world system. We're going to bring hypocrisy challenges to us. But I've got a better way to do this. And that is, if we will focus on the kingdom of God, if we will promote the kingdom, if we will promote the principles of God's kingdom, if we will stand for those, if we will fight for those, if we will stand up and we will fight in God's kingdom for God's purpose, for God's way, and we will understand what that means, if we will become kingdom-minded, there's fruit of kingdom-mindedness. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 talks about it. And it says, these are the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, right? Come on now. That's the fruit of the kingdom of God. That is not fruit that will produce in the world system. How many know, to get the fruit you want, you have to plant in the right soil. The seed has to go into the right soil. It has to be nurtured the right way, and then it will produce the fruit. Here's what we're doing. Now hear me. And please, if you get mad at me, it's all right, we'll talk about it later. But here's what we're doing. We're trying to plant the seeds in the world, hoping it's going to produce the fruit. It's not going to do it. Not the world system. What we are doing is, our seeds are already planted. We live in the produce over here. The fruit that is produced, it is Christ that put the seed in the ground and died. Unless a seed goes in the ground and dies, then it cannot produce. Christ paved the way. Now we live in the fruit. And are you saying, Pastor, we're not supposed to be planted? Sure. We plant the word, but it's not for the world system. It's for the people that are living in the world system, so that they could see the light and come to know Christ. And then when these seeds see the light, for we are the light of the world over here sitting on a hill, and when they see the light, they come alive. And they move out of that system into this system. And let me tell you, this system, it doesn't see color. It doesn't see gender. It doesn't see social status. It doesn't see power. It doesn't matter if you're what color you are, black, brown, white, red, yellow, we're all precious in His sight, as the song would say. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. That's what the Word says. That in the kingdom of God, you're neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, free or bound. It doesn't matter, because, see, that all matters in this system, because those are elements of pride. This is who I connect with. This is who I identify with. Others are different than me, but my way is better. And you might not vocalize it, and maybe you've put it out of your heart, and thank God if you have, but it's still ingrained in the system. Amen? Come on. You want me to prove it to you? I'll prove it to you. If here's a white system. Here's a black system. Here's a brown system. Here's a red system. Here's a Asian system. Because if you don't believe me, you go to South America, and you're going to find a different system than you find in the United States of America. You go to Africa, you're going to find a different world system, a different way of thinking and understanding. You go to the Middle East, you're going to find a whole different way of thinking over. You go over into Asia, you're going to find a whole different way of thinking, because see, when this is our kingdom, it's going to break up into these, and you're going to find ways sometimes to work together and come out of it, but that's still going to be ingrained in you. But when we're in Christ, what the Word says is, we no longer are in these. Whatever that was no longer matters. Somebody should say amen. Whatever that was no longer matters, because we left this and we came to this. And we left this and we came to this. And we left this and we left this. And we are all here in Christ. And in that system, we're all on even ground. We all stand before the Father through Jesus Christ. And all of this other stuff, all this stuff that our world is in this big fight about, has no place in the life of a child of God. The only way it does is if we are still trying to live in an old system. Amen. Where I was at in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, now then, yes, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know what that means? What does an ambassador do? Do you know what our ambassador to Japan does? If this is the U.S. and this is Japan, and we have an ambassador that's a United States citizen, he goes and he lives here in Japan, and he represents the United States of America. Amen. He's not Japanese. He doesn't become a citizen of that country. He's an ambassador for the kingdom he's a part of. Amen. He represents everything he does while in that other country is a representation of the country he's from. Oh, praise God. That's exactly right. That doesn't work well all the time, does it? Because here's the thing, but that's what we are. That's what the scripture Vernon said, verse 20. That's what it is. See, we're now transferred into this kingdom, but we are in the world, but not of the world. So you know what's happened? Let me just be real blunt with you and bold with you. You know what's happened? If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, you sitting here tonight, we are heavenly citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have been placed in the United States of America to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, to represent Christ in everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go. All that we are not representing ourselves. We are not representing the world we live in. We're representing the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, as believers, we would get that and we would apply that, our lives would change. We wouldn't be up and down all the time and blown away by every wind of doctrine and struggling because this one's president and the sky's falling because that one's president. Because you know what? In my kingdom, there's only one, and he's never come off the throne, and he's not going to. He didn't get voted on. He's not getting voted off. Amen. He's in charge and in control, and I can represent him no matter what's going on over here. Now, should I let my voice be heard? Because that's the normal question. Should we stand up? Yes, but how do we do that? We stand up for the kingdom of God principles. That's what the Lord has been dropping in my heart. Here's what, and as I've been preparing for this series, the Lord was saying to me, I want you to focus on, here's the way. He's saying to me, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I hear the Lord speaking to my spirit, and he's saying to me, I'm not just going to tell you what I want you to say, I'm going to lead you to show how to do this. And that is, you stand for kingdom principles. You promote kingdom actions. You begin to preach and teach about the priority of the kingdom in the life of believers. You begin to understand that and explain the kingdom of God. And then you begin to engage in the culture you're in from the kingdom of God perspective. Let me help you. If we don't do this, we will find ourselves being just as hypocritical as the rest of the people in this world system. Because if it's the people we like, we'll justify them. If it's the people we don't like, we'll demonize them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not only the prejudice issue. It's any issue. It's the sin issue. Have you ever noticed? We can be warriors over certain sins and silent about other sins. Amen. Sometimes you can tell a lot about a person about the sins they're silent about. Amen. Because we're human by nature, and by nature, that world system is in us. It's in this flesh, and it's all around. And so we have to learn to walk and operate in this kingdom. See, we've gotten this all backwards. And this is where we've got to go with this. We've gotten this all. We have made all of this thing about, boy, you know, there's sin, and then once you come to know Christ, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. I understand the concept. Let me tell you, we don't understand the kingdom. When we are in Christ, there's a new life in us. We still now are learning to live in this new life. That's called maturing. That's called walking. That's called growing. That's called letting our faith grow, understanding. How do we do that? By putting to practice what we now have received. Amen. A baby, when it's thrust out of the comfort of that mother's womb, it's thrown into a brand new system. Amen. Because that baby in the mother's womb, it had everything provided. It had everything right. I don't guess it cried. I mean, I've seen the ultrasounds. And it looks like they're doing something in there. But it didn't have to cry for anything. The cruel world was outside. It was a perfect temperature, perfect environment. Everything was there. Everything was ready. Everything was provided. And then when it's brought forth into this world, that system's gone. Amen. Amen. And it's brought out, and the first thing it does is cries its disapproval. No! I like the other place. Right? It gets hit on the rear end. I guess they still do that. I don't know. They may not even do that anymore. I don't know. But I know they did when we were having kids. You ever seen them take a newborn baby? I never will forget. I never will forget when my son was born. That's the first time I'd ever seen it. And they brought him out. And I mean, they were treating him. I wanted to punch him. I mean, I did, because they give him to me, man. He's going to break if I move. And they just yank him up out there and got him by the leg. And they're carrying him over here and throwing him down here and doing this. And I'm thinking, you're doing that to my baby. But that baby is going to get, it's in a different system now. Let me tell you, here's the thing. The systems are all different, but this is who we are. The kingdom, we've got to come back to the kingdom. And we've got to stand up for the principles of love. We've got to stand up for the principles of faith. We've got to stand up for the principles of righteousness. We've got to stand up for hope. We've got to stand up for peace. And all of this is through Christ. We've got to point people to Jesus in everything that we do. That's our battle. Go right ahead. Yeah. Certainly. Certainly. Absolutely. Yes, because he's closer to coming. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wrong, whatever the case may be. They're wrong on both sides. Sure. No doubt. But we have to figure out what we're battling against.
Exactly. That's the key. Yes. And that's the key, Ed. That's where we're going to go on this journey. Because, see, it's one thing to know who. That's one thing to know it's not man, it's the devil, the system, the pride system that comes in. But it's another thing to know how to battle that and to be able to identify it in real time, in the real world, and to be able to understand what to do about it. See, here's where we struggle. We lose sight of what to do, and we fall back into, because of our world system way of thinking, we fall back into reacting the way we think we're supposed to react, and we don't lean upon Christ. That's where we're going to go with this, because this spiritual battle is about, can we humble ourselves, lower ourselves under the mighty hand of God through Christ, who set us free, and operate in His kingdom principles in this world. And we need an understanding to do that. It's the truth you know that sets you free. The Bible says, if you know the truth, you will be set free. But it's the truth you know that brings freedom to you. And for many Christians, we don't know, we don't understand the full truth. We're statistically, we are biblically illiterate. I hope you're not, but statistically we are. We don't know. The only word we get is what someone else tells us. Amen. And so we need understanding. Above all, get understanding. Learn about this kingdom you're a part of. If we don't understand this kingdom that we're now a part of, then we'll never live fully in it. But here's the good news. When you understand this kingdom Christ set up, there's freedom and there's liberty. Do you know when Paul was walking this earth, do you know what separated Paul from everybody else of the day that he started? When he started, even the early church, when Paul started, what separated him was the fact he had a revelation of what the kingdom really was. It was a kingdom of grace. It was a kingdom of freedom and liberty. And Paul had freedom like man had not understood. Amen. And he went about teaching and he faced all kinds of obstacles. And they accused him of everything. I mean, they accused him on both sides of every issue. They ran him out of town. But he understood the kingdom. And he kept teaching and others kept grabbing it. And he kept sowing the word of the kingdom into lives over in this system. And then Christ, it wasn't Paul, it was the Spirit of God through Christ that was doing it. Paul was the vessel he's using. But the seeds that he was sowing into this world began to spring to life. And they began to realize where their kingdom was. And then they could proclaim it. And that turned the world upside down. See, we've got, this is what we're missing. This is what we're missing is the concepts of the kingdom. This warfare is to understand the kingdom and all that that means. It's to have a working knowledge of relying upon Christ and pointing to Jesus and allowing the Spirit of God to flow out of us to where the fruit of the Spirit is producing this kingdom in us so that we can be a light to those stuck in the system. But it's not going to be pride. It's going to be by humbling ourselves. And Paul would say it this way. Paul would say, I discipline my body. You know what he's saying? He doesn't mean he beats his body. It doesn't mean that you know, he hates himself and he loathes himself and he feels bad about everything that he has always done. He makes his body come under subjection to the kingdom of God, to Christ, to the principles of faith and love and hope. And he subjects it so that pride is overthrown and Christ is glorified. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're going to start this, and I wanted to get this out because we've got to be kingdom-minded. And so we're going to find out, what are the principles of this kingdom? What does it mean that we are the first fruit of the Spirit in this world? What does that mean? What does that look like? How does this affect us? What is spiritual warfare versus cultural warfare? Because I'm going to tell you, it's really been bothering me over the last few days, almost to the point that I'm getting close to just going dark on it and turning it off, because it's really bothering me. As I've been looking at social media, and I see so many Christians that are cultural warriors, but unwilling to be spiritual warriors. Amen. I mean it. And it's because I've got this in me. It's been bothering me, and it's on both sides, guys. I mean, it's on both sides. I'm not picking a side. I'm telling you, we need to walk in the kingdom, because either side has this stuff in it, and this is what we're striving for. So if God will help us, and I know He will, and if God will help me be clear about this, and I'm believing He will, I think we're going to go on a journey together. There are some enemies we fight. It's this world system. It's the flesh that is always in turmoil. It is the devil. It's invisible foes. But there are ways that we overcome. And so we're going to go through this. And we're going to understand what it means to be established in this system. And to battle out of this system. And when we're faced with, because we got some big issues right now. Okay? We've got big issues. And we can either be a voice on a political side, or we can be a voice in the wilderness on God's side, speaking the truth in love and not backing away but because we have a kingdom whose builder and maker is God. Amen. We can speak truth that neither side can speak if we'll do it. And so please hear my heart on this. If we go through this and I say some things and it kind of rubs you the wrong way or whatever about it, you can just come and talk to me about it. But what I'm trying to get us to do through this is to see our lives through the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't care what affiliation you are. I really don't. Let's be kingdom-minded. Because here's what I believe. I believe when we're kingdom-minded and we produce the fruit of the Spirit, problems are answered. And we have a voice. Amen. If one side's wrong and we're kingdom-minded, we can speak truth about it. Amen. If the other side's wrong and we're kingdom-minded, we can speak truth about it. But we can do it in a manner that has impact. Amen. All right. Spiritual warfare. Stand your feet with me. We're going to go on a journey, and if you're not here next week, I'll know you didn't want to take that journey with me. No, I'm just joking. I just thought I'd put that out there just to kind of make you feel bad if you can't show up next week. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We're gonna take this journey together, and I believe God's gonna show us some things. Be praying. Let me encourage you. Get into your word and begin to study about spiritual warfare. And remember this, it's never about your strength. It's never about your ability. It's never about how well you can do something. It's always about what Christ has already accomplished and what we can allow His Spirit to do through us. Amen. How many believe Jesus already accomplished this? He sat down on the right hand of the Father after coming up out of the grave. He ascended and He sat down. He said, my work's done. Amen. Now you're in that world till the enemy becomes your footstool. But I want to tell you, when you become kingdom minded, the enemy is our footstool. Woo, I could preach that right there now, but I better get off that or I'll start a whole nother message right there. If the enemy's not your footstool, it's because you're not kingdom minded. Amen. Don't ever say, oh, the devil, he's been whooping me. That means you're not being kingdom minded. Because if I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. All right, God help me. I want to preach now. All right, bow your heads with me. Let's pray.